Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
And this morning, as you're standing, if you have your Bibles, if you open your Bible in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 35. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 35. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation this morning. How many came to praise the Lord? Amen. Don't stay quiet on me. Amen. Praise God. The Lord has been so good. My title this morning is, The Harvest is Ready Now. Amen. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. The Word of God reads, look at verse 35. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Let's read it again, verse 35. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are ready, ripe for harvest. How many believe that? Amen. That the fields are already ripe for harvest. If it's your first time, welcome. Thank you for being with us. When you look at the context of this message, you will find out about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. In other words, how Jesus witnessed to this Samaritan woman. And Jesus was the instrument, the vessel that God used to sow the seed into the life of this woman. So like many of us who are here this morning, someone at one time sowed the seed of the word into your life. Amen. And we see here that this woman was impacted by the message that Jesus spoke to her. She was so impacted that she went and told everyone about what Jesus had told her. Matter of fact, when you look at the Bible here in verse 29, these are the words of this woman. She says, come and see a man who told me everything. Look what she says. A man who told me everything I ever did. How many know Jesus knows everything? Amen. He knows everything. And she says, could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming. I want you to see this. She was impacted. God did something in her life. But she didn't stay with what she heard. She went out. Quickly ran and told everyone what Jesus had told her. Now God uses her. So she goes and tells everyone about Jesus. Then the Bible says that everyone that heard the message she had, the Bible says they came streaming from the village to see Jesus. Think about that. It's like what God has done in your life. You were so impacted by what Jesus did in you that we can't keep it to ourselves. We have to share it. Share our story or share our testimony of what Jesus has done in our lives. Amen. And because Jesus knows all about you, he knows all about me. That is the reason why we're here this morning. We're very grateful for what Christ has done in our lives. Amen. How only him was able to set us free. How he gave us forgiveness. He forgave us of our sins. How he broke those chains from our lives. And the Bible says in verse 31, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. Like saying, Jesus, come on. You're busy in ministry. You're witnessing. You're talking about Jesus. But notice what Jesus says. This is his reply. See, they're talking in the normal way of life, the natural. But Jesus, he's thinking spiritually. And Jesus, he replies and he says, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. So in other words, Jesus is saying, look, this is my food right here. This is what I enjoy. He says, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. In other words, my food, my ministry, my calling is telling everyone about Jesus or about God. Now, notice, verse 33 says, did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. See, they're still thinking in the natural. They're thinking about that Jesus, he's talking about food. Did somebody bring food to Jesus? But see, he wasn't talking about the natural food that we eat. And then verse 34, the Bible says that Jesus had to explain. And he says this, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. How many here want to do the will of God? Amen. That's what we're called to do. Our nourishment is doing the will of God. And he says, who sent me? And from finishing his work. Now, this is where I'm going to get to. Verse 35. Look at verse 35. He says, you know the saying. Like saying, you know how it is. He says, how farmers work. He says, 4 months between planting and harvest. Like saying, there's a season. In the natural, there's a season of that you plant seed. And then within months, there is a what? A harvest. But look what he says. Jesus, he's about to turn things around. He says, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. In other words, what Jesus was saying is this. Number one, he is saying, look, you don't have to wait for 2, 3, 4, 5 months. He says, the harvest is ready now. He says it is now, church. The harvest is ready. For those loved ones, those people that don't know Jesus yet, the harvest is ready. And Jesus says, look around. If you get in the spirit, if you get in the supernatural, the harvest is ready. You don't have to be waiting. And this is so powerful, church. He is saying the people are ready to what? To receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That this is what Jesus is saying. The people are ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. All we have to do, listen, church, this is for us right now. We just got to let God use us. Let the power of the Holy Spirit speak through us. That we may go and sow that seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is saying, the harvest is ready. He says, but I say, wake up and look around. Look what he says. The fields are already ripe for harvest. There's an urgency, church, right now that we got to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And church, this morning, God wants to use you to tell people that Jesus is coming back soon. And that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. So church, look around. The harvest is ready. Salvation, there's a big window of opportunity right now to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. See, we don't worry if they're going to listen or they're not going to listen. We don't worry how they're going to react. We don't worry about what they're going to say, what they're going to do. We don't worry what's going to be their reaction, if they're going to reject it, if they're going to say this or that. No. All we need to do is to sow that seed. It's plant that seed. And church, this morning, I want to encourage you by the word of God that God wants to use you. I said God wants to use you. But all you got to say, Lord, here I am, use me. Use me. If you can use like that one old worship song, if you can use anything, use me, Lord. Right now, salvation is a big opportunity. And the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. Lift up your eyes. Look around. One of the things we think right away is that, well, nobody's going to listen. They're going to reject me. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Or others say, nobody wants to hear about religion, but it's not about religion. It's about a Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, look up and look around. You know what that word means? To look up, look around, or lift up your eyes? It means that you got to look higher. See, many times we're just looking lower and lower. And we think that, you know, nothing's going to happen. But I don't know if you remember when you were lost, when you were without Jesus. How many here remember when you were lost without Jesus? When you were in darkness. I could assure you that the people that God used, they were looking higher. Knowing that it wasn't them, but it was Jesus through them. Telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is telling us this morning. He says, lift up your eyes, look up and look around. Be attentive. Be aware. There is an opportunity, church, right now. Not inside the church, outside the four walls of the church. At your workplace, your family members, your neighbors. That people need to know or hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, but I say again, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. How many believe that they're ready? But we got to take action. See, in the spiritual, we can't say, you know what? Well, I'm just waiting for the right moment. Or right now it's winter, it's starting to get a little bit cooler. We're thinking, well, I'll go till summer comes. You know, we can't think that way. Or you know what? Maybe after Christmas. No, the time is now. The harvest is ready, church. I said the harvest is ready. The time is now. How many know that a farmer doesn't wait for crops to walk into a barn? Did you know that? You didn't get it, huh? A farmer doesn't wait for crops to walk into a barn. You know what the farmer does? He goes out into the fields. It's like this morning. We can't wait and say, you know what? The people, we're just going to tell people about Jesus when they come to church. No. We got to go outside the church. We got to go outside the four walls. And that's what a farmer does. He goes out to the field. And you know what a farmer, he doesn't look like, well, you know what, it's a little bit of this or that. No. Either if it's cold or hot, or if the ground is tough, the farmer is going to go out to the fields. And that's who we are, church. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, because it's so easy, we get so caught up in ourselves only. You know, just me. I'm comfortable, I'm cool, you know, I'm blessed. I have Jesus. But how about the other ones? How about your son? How about your daughter that haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ yet? Or maybe he has heard the gospel, but maybe he walked away from the gospel or walked away from Jesus. But this is the time is now, church, to believe God, that God is ready. The harvest is ready. I said the harvest is ready, church. Amen. But guess what? It doesn't just take one person, even though God can use you individually. But the Bible teaches us, look what the Bible says in verse 36 and 37. Look at 36, 37. Ooh, he says, the harvesters are paid good wages. And the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Can I say something? You know, all this time that you've been praying, you've been believing God. Just, I want you to look back a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But look at your harvest now. I said, look at your harvest now. Now, your sons, your daughter, your friend, your family member, they're now serving Jesus Christ. Now they're doing the will of God. But if you go back, how many times we're not praying or telling them about the love of God, about the love of Jesus, that there's no one like God. But now look at the harvest. And the Bible says the harvesters are paid good wages. I don't know about you, church, but those are very good wages. When you see your loved ones coming to the feet of Jesus, when they repent of their sins, when they let go of that old lifestyle, but now in Christ they are a new creation. Now they have Christ in their heart. Now they know they're going to heaven. Now they know that Jesus is the only way. And he says, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Look what he says. What joy awaits. Look what he says. Both the planter and the harvester alike. See, kingdom work is about working together. It's not a competition. It's not that God uses me, God doesn't use you. Kingdom work, it's about working together. That we celebrate as a team. We're in the same mission of winning souls for Jesus Christ. That those souls would repent of their sins and they would call upon the name of Jesus. And that Jesus is the only one that can change their lives around from the inside out. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 and 7. I'll read it to you. It says, I planted. This is Paul speaking. He says, I planted the seed. But then he says, Apollos, he watered the seed. And then he says, but God gave the increase. So you see, there's kingdom work, doing work together. It doesn't just take one individual. It's not about that only, you know, God can use me. He can't use nobody else. I'm the man of the hour. No, it's not about that. The man of the hour is Jesus Christ. I said the man of the hour is Jesus Christ, church. And you might be the one, listen, you might be the one that planted the seed. But then God can send somebody else and he's going to use him to water the seed. But we never forget that it is God that gives the increase. God has given you, God has given me the increase. I still remember who was the first one that sowed the seed in my life. And I also remember who God used to water that seed in my life. But my growth, the increase in my life has been God. That's why we give God all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, because God is good. Look at verse 37. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. So you got to ask the Holy Spirit, listen, Father, what do you want me to be? The sower? Do I sow? Do I water? And verse 38, he says, I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Wow, this is even more powerful. Look what he says. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work. Think about that. And now you will get to gather the harvest. The disciples were reaping what Jesus had taught them, what the prophets in the Old Testament had taught. Many of us that are here today is because there's been in the past many people that God has used. Maybe your grandfather, maybe your grandmother, man and woman of God, that they prayed, they labored, they toiled all night. And maybe they didn't get to see the harvest, but you're seeing the harvest now. Aren't you grateful that someone has been praying for you? Someone has been toiling, working hard so that you would be or come to the feet of Jesus. I mean, I'm grateful. I know that part of it's been, maybe it's been the prayers of your mother, the prayers of your father, your uncle, your aunt. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, look, he says, I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Quit trying to get that credit. And he says, others had already done the work. And see, it's like us right now, church. If we sow, we pray, we witness, we tell them, we teach our children, we teach our grandchildren, we teach the church, the day of tomorrow, there's going to be a great harvest. Amen. And he says, I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work. And now you will get to gather the harvest. Wow. And there's people everywhere, church. You could go to a school. You could go to the gym, the coffee shop, the store. There's opportunities everywhere to tell them about the love of Jesus. The harvest is there, church. We can't give no excuses. Well, who am I going to tell? Well, I don't think nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Well, I'm not a good communicator. Well, the Bible teaches there were a lot of people that were not great communicators, but God used them. God used a donkey. He could use you. God can use me. Amen. It's that you got to have the willingness and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me today, Holy Spirit. As I'm going to this place, use me that I may tell someone about Jesus Christ. And you never know, church. Maybe you can win that soul for the Lord that moment. Or maybe you're going to be the one that's going to sow that seed. And many people are just one conversation away, church. One conversation. And it's just about building up a relationship, telling someone about the love of God. Now, real quick, I want to do this. I want to help you with this. Real quick. Because maybe you're saying, well, I want God to use me. I want to tell more about people. About Jesus. Or maybe, you know, I want my son. I'm praying for my son, my daughter. Keep on praying, church. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is mighty and powerful. God can do it. So real quick, number one, pray. Listen, church, it's about prayer and taking action. Pray that God will draw them to Jesus. Did you hear me? Pray that God will draw them to Jesus. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You got to pray, church. Listen. You got to pray to the Father that he's the one that can draw them, draw that person, draw that loved one to Jesus. And let me tell you this. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it, when to do it, how to do it, and he knows how to do it right. Number two, pray. This is very important. Pray that their spiritual blindness be removed. That's biblical. We got to pray for our loved ones, for those people, that their spiritual blindness be removed. Did you know that? Every person that doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they are blind spiritually. They have a veil over their eyes, that they cannot see the gospel. They cannot see the light. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says this, the God of this age, speaking of Satan, the God of this age has blinded, he has blinded who? The minds of who? The unbelievers. That's why we got to pray, Lord, remove that spiritual blindness from them in the name of Jesus. Number three, pray. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit convicts them of what? Sin. We got to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will convict them of sin and a need for a Savior. That the Holy Spirit will convict that person that he is in sin and that he's wrong and that he needs to repent. And not only repent, but that he needs a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that saves. He could be partying it up. He could be out there acting crazy, doing his thing, him or her, whatever it is. But God is so mighty and powerful that he could go wherever that person might be, even if he's loaded up in drugs and alcohol, doing crazy things. The power of the Holy Spirit can touch him right there and bring conviction and knock them down. Give them a couple of spiritual slaps and get your act together. Come on, let's go. God knows how to do it. You'd be surprised. Remember Wednesday I was preaching? Sometimes we want to be the preacher. You need to sit down and let God do it. Amen? Because we're good about telling, oh, you know, you need to let the Holy Spirit do it. Number four, let's pray that God will soften their heart. Woo, because you can be saying, oh, it's because that person, man, he has a hard heart, like a rock. Nothing will change him. That, you know, people speak like that. Oh, that man will never change. That lady will never change. That's a lie. God can change anybody. God does the impossible. God does the supernatural. Only God can do it. I said only God can do it. Amen. When the doctors, the psychologists, or whomever say, you know what, there's no remedy or there's nothing we can do, guess what? God can do it because he's the almighty, powerful God. You know that the Bible says in Ezekiel 36, 26, it says, God is speaking, he says, I will remove the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Only God can do that. So anybody that says, oh, I trip when they say, nobody can change me. You better be careful. God can. I'm never going to change. This is who I am. Be careful. God will change you. He'll tear you up. Amen. Number five, this is where we come in. Pray God sends the right people into their life. Because look, you might not be the person that they might be saved, but God has other people that God can use. And check this out, God can use people that you would never expect in unexpected places, unexpected people, but that's who God chose. Matthew 9:38, it's what I've been preaching this morning. Let's pray that God sends workers into the harvest. Another one, pray for opportunities and boldness to share Christ. Right. You gotta, every day, church, listen. Every day when you pray and you're gonna leave your house, ask the Lord, give me opportunities. And not only opportunities, but give me the boldness. The boldness to tell people about Jesus. To tell them that if they don't repent, they're going to hell. I know it's a little heavy for some of you, but, you know, the Bible does, there's a heaven and a hell. And there's times that the Holy Spirit might tell you to tell them that. If he tells you. But let's be bold. Not be ashamed. Not back down. But to be strong in our faith and be bold. And say, brother, you need Jesus. Oh, no, that this and all that. No, there's only one way. No, there's different ways. No, there's only one way. That way is Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody else. Nobody else is going to save you. The only Savior is Jesus Christ. And he's coming back soon. You know that Paul would tell the people from Colossians. That's what he would tell them when he would write to them. He would say these words. Pray for me that God. This is what he would say. That God would open a door for his word. If Paul, one of the greatest Christians, would pray that, don't you think that we ought to pray that? God, open a door. Give me an opportunity to tell someone about the gospel. And I'm going to give you one more, and we're done. Let's pray that they repent of their sins and call upon the name of Jesus, that they will trust Jesus. It might not be in your church. It might not be with the preacher you want. Wherever and however God wants to do it, but let's pray that they would repent of their sins and they would call upon Jesus and they would trust Jesus and they would follow Jesus and they would serve Jesus all the days of their lives. And this church, we got to have faith. You got to see your son, your daughter, your relative, your best friend, whomever it is, you got to see them with spiritual eyes. You got to see them that, like, they might not be serving God right now, but by faith, I see them worshiping Jesus. I see them going to a church. I see them that God is using them for your glory and honor. That's the way you got to see them, church. Don't look at them like, oh, he's never going to change. You know, he's this, this, and no. See it with spiritual eyes. And the scripture I have is 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish. Did you know that? It's not the will of God that anybody should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, look what he says, that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to come to repentance. Church, once again, the harvest is ready. It's ready. Let's go out there and tell them about the Savior, Jesus Christ. Please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.